almost everyone's phone. Back again. Call upon our brother Yun for a final wrap-up session for these discussion groups. Brother Yun.
Thank you, Brother David. Well, it's very sad. We've finished the classes. And Brother Paul says to Timothy, I've finished the course. And just in case I forget, I'd like to thank Brother David and Brother Tim for all the work that they did in putting the books together and how much we've really enjoyed being able to go through that that study. So thank you very much for that. Did you get a sense in your final sessions as you read through this, a sense of urgency that comes out? If you take a look at some of these words here, I know this isn't how you pronounce it in the Greek, but I almost pronounce it as spedazzle. It's speed. And you get a real sense of urgency as the apostle is closing this out. 2 Timothy 1, verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's that same word, spedazzo. Preach the word, be instant in season. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Do thy diligence to come before winter. So you've got study, diligence, you've got this speed, this sense of urgency. The time is coming. And he even says that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, for the time will come. So here it is in the last letter. Wouldn't we expect to see a bit of an urgency, a sense of speed? The time is ending. I've got very little time left. Do it quickly. Everything I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get it across to you quickly, Timothy. I don't have much time left. And how much more as we live in the day and how much more meaningful it is to us in our day and age before the return of Christ. How much time do we really have before the return of Christ? It's a sense of urgency. What a wonderful book it is for us to study at this year's youth conference. To be able to study this book, how timely that is. And just to kind of remind ourselves of just a couple of the themes as the, you know, that Paul brings our attention to. You know, he talks about the soldier. He talks about the athlete. And he talks about the husbandman, the farmer. No man that in war entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And so, as the apostle is concluding his letter, he's picking up these examples. The example of the soldier, not to get distracted. Don't get entangled. Keep your eye on the focus. Keep your eye on the kingdom. Don't get distracted. And the athlete, do it honestly. Keep in shape. Follow the rules. Follow the scriptures. Know the doctrines. And the farmer, the idea that you have to labor because that precedes partaking of the fruit. You've got to work now. You've got to work out your own salvation. And of course, we get the idea of from that word strived, we get the word athlete. And so the apostle's trying to get Timothy to think about as much of this as possible. We mentioned this before, but it's this idea of economy of words, that the scriptures is giving us these mind pictures to fill out so that we can take that away from us. So as we go away this week, we've got these mind pictures of a soldier, of an athlete, and of the husbandman. And we're called upon to don't lose focus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and at verse 22, something that we certainly discussed with the brothers the other night, but it's got this idea, Paul understood Timothy. He understood youth. He understands us when we're young. And he says, flee also youthful lusts. Flee those things that aren't going to be of benefit. And then he says, not just to flee it, but replace it with something. He says, replace it with righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. So again, he knows youth. He knows what it's like when we're young. You just can't flee something. You've got to flee and replace it with something. And so the apostle tells us to follow these things. And he also explains as we go through the letter to know our enemies, know what we're fighting, equip ourselves. Do you have the scriptures ready? Do you understand the scriptures well enough to be able to take on some of these challenges? Do you have it, your Bibles marked up enough that you can, when people attack the doctrine, that you can be able to defend the truth? And are you convinced in your own mind? And if not, we've got to get ready. We've got to study to show ourselves approved. So that when the word is being challenged, either by those outside the truth that we're preaching to, or even inside the truth, we've done the study, we know how to answer, and we're prepared to give an answer of the things which we know. So again, I think that's another theme that comes through this letter. We need to be prepared now. I mean, we have in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last times, perilous times shall come. Now, he's not just talking about AD 70. Is he not talking about our day and age? He's got to be. And is he just talking about the world? If it was, that would be easy. He's talking about the truth. He's talking about the things of the truth. So we've got to be able to defend the things of the truth. And as we see, and we look as we run down this page here, in 2 Timothy 3, and we see that these people have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. What's he talking about? What's he talking about, creeping into houses? What's that language like? Well, he's talking about the ecclesia. He's talking about days of frogs. He's talking about frog spirits. He's talking about this frog-like thinking. He's got our minds back in Exodus chapter 8. Just flip back there to Exodus 8 and verse 6. He's alluding to the plagues that struck Egypt, and particularly the plague of the creeping frogs, because they were a symbol that God is going to use down through time. And he's going to use that down into the age in which we live. And so as young people, we need to watch for these frog-like spirits. And so in Exodus 8, verse 6, and Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Now, one thing that's interesting with this is, in a number of the plagues, not all of the plagues, but a few of the plagues, and this particular plague affected Israel. That's how you know he's talking about the ecclesia. The frogs were in the land of Goshen area. It affected all the land of Egypt. And so they also did not escape this particular blight. Verse 11, and the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy house and from thy servants, from thy people. They shall only remain in the river only in the end. But the frogs went everywhere. They went all over the place. Just turn over to Psalm 78. This is the result of what the frogs did. Psalm 78 and at verse 45. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. And that word destroyed there is the idea of corrupted them. It made them completely mad. That's the idea of that word in the Hebrew. It made them completely mad because the frogs were everywhere. This frog-like thinking was everywhere. And that's the spirit of our day. That's why we read in Revelation 16, before the time of the end, before Armageddon, this frog-like spirits will go out into all the nations. So we read in verse 13 of Revelation 16. So the Lord takes this frog-like thinking and he runs the frog analogy all the way through the scriptures. They creep into houses. And we know we're in the right section because in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 3, Paul says, he talks about Jannes and Jambres who withstood Moses. So the magicians in Egypt withstood Moses. And it says, to resist the truth, men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. So he's into Exodus, and he's into the frogs, and he's into the magicians of Egypt. And we read in Revelation 16, verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, which in Bible prophecy relate to the area of Europe. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle to that great day of God Almighty. And we know that the frog-like spirits that came out of the time of the French Revolution, this is the particular time period in Revelation that it's speaking about. And that's another reason why we know the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is soon. When you read through Revelation 16, what is really left to happen before the Lord returns? Because these frog-like spirits went out in the 1700s and they've gone to corrupt the whole of the earth. And so the whole of the earth is being corrupted, and the frogs have been released. The frogs are released. They're affecting the world into humanism. And the cry of the three frogs is liberty, equality, fraternity, brotherhood, unity, liberty, equality, fraternity. And that's the effect that's gone out throughout the whole world. And we've got the Statue of Liberty. Who gave the Statue of Liberty to the United States? France. When they had the uprising in Tiananmen Square, and they made a statue out of clay. What statue do they make in Tiananmen Square? Statue of Liberty. So it still symbolizes to this day liberty, equality, fraternity. And that's the frog-like spirits. But what Paul's saying, that's going to affect the brotherhood. We have to be careful. And that's humanism. We have to see it for what it is. It's the days of frogs. We live in the days of frogs. And what's the purpose of the days of frogs? It's gathering everybody. It's making the world mad. And they're gathering to the great day of God Almighty. That's to the day of Armageddon. And that's what these frog-like spirits have gone. And if you want to see those in action, watch what's happening in Europe. It's all over the world, but watch what's happening in Europe as we see these frog-like spirits coming together. Paul tells Timothy, as we close here, he says, Timothy, look what I've suffered. He says, but I've suffered not in vain. There is a purpose to my suffering. He said, I've done it for my brothers and sisters. He says, Timothy, get the word out there. Look at that, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Here's your last letter. You're just about finished. What are you going to say to somebody? And Paul's saying, there's a judgment coming. So he says that in verse 1. So your last things you're going to say is there's a judgment coming. The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. So Timothy, preach the word. The kingdom's coming. Keep preaching. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why? Because you got to keep going. Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to teach. They're going to get teachers that'll tickle their ears. So, Timothy, teach what you still can. Get out there. Get going. Get the word out there. And for us, brothers and sisters and young people, the word is alive. We've got to make it live within us. Look at that up in verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed. It's alive. The book's alive. It's living. And it's got to live in us. It's got the power to change lives. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7. Timothy is in Ephesus at this time. Did he ever see Paul again? Likely not. His beloved father in the truth, the one he did all the journeys with. These are the final words. And it's these famous words here that must have meant so much to Timothy. As he listens to his father in the truth, he says, for I'm now ready, Timothy, to be offered, and the time of my departure at his hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then he says, I think these lovely words, because it's not just about Paul. It's about all of us, brothers and sisters, as young people, as we leave this camp this week. Let's make a commitment not to be distracted. Let's make a commitment to be focused on the things of the truth. Henceforth, he says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And so we love the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all about helping each other get into that kingdom, isn't it? We've had a wonderful week. On behalf of Aunt Judy and myself, we just love being with you. We love to see the spirit of this week. Thank you so much for letting us be a part of your week. Thank you for everyone that organized and worked so hard behind the scenes, and all the meals and the cleanup, and everyone worked so hard. And it was wonderful to get to know all of you as young people. We love you all. And we want to see all of you in the kingdom together. And we're going to miss you when we go back to the East. But you know, again, it's our hope and our faith that we'll all see each other in the kingdom really soon. So God bless you all, and thanks very much.